Here is Feral Cat. Remarkable tone and sound, all self-mixed by Feral Cat as he played. And we're going to give him a moment to step up to the microphone. Yet another microphone. Yeah. First thing I noticed amazingly is I put a picture of him up on Facebook, and at Feral Cat it was available, and it's you. You would think there'd be competition.
You would think there would be a lot more feral cats, right?
Right.
Aren't there a bunch of them just all over?
By definition, they're everywhere.
I've seen plenty in Oakland, yeah, and wherever else.
There are a lot. Tell me about a little bit about yourself. We'll talk about the project more, but
sure.
I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. Roger Romero,
mm-hmm.
You weren't born Feral Cat. Nobody would do that.
No, I was not born Feral Cat.
But are you from this area originally? Or?
So I was born in New York. I'm a child of two Dominican immigrants. And I moved pretty quickly after, I think I was about three or so when we moved from New York to New Jersey. So I grew up mostly in New Jersey, and I came here for college to Pittsburgh. I went to CMU to study engineering.
What brand? What kind?
What kind? I was a materials science engineer.
Did you finish up there?
I did.
Good for you.
Even had a job in it, too. Well, not technically in materials science. I was a chemist, a contract chemist for PPG for about just over a year.
Interesting. I should tell you, I went to Carnegie Mellon, have a degree in chemical engineering.
No way.
Yes, I do, which is one reason I asked you that. There should be a whole list. There should be like an alt alumnus section of maybe more people would read the alumni notes or magazine if you had like this alt section of what people were doing that has nothing to do with what they studied.
I think you're right. I'd be really interested to know who else, at least in my major, I knew plenty of students who went off and did something else. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't know how many went to music from the engineering school.
Do you know why you wanted to study engineering? Or I mean, did you say, I want to be a materials engineer? Or?
Yeah, not quite. I went to a charter high school where I was meant to study, or I studied medicine, or like pre-med, pre-pre-med, I guess. Like before you go to college to be a pre-medical student. But I found out pretty soon into high school that I wasn't interested. I was playing music throughout, but never truly considered it a career, although it was really the only thing I was genuinely interested in. And by the time I got to being a senior, I was like, you know what? I really like math and science. It just makes sense to go and be an engineer. And I wanted a school where I could both be an engineer and study music part-time. So CMU was high on my list, and I got in.
Gosh, you have almost the same soul and background as I do, because I loved math and science. I really did not necessarily want to be an engineer. All I could think about was I'd like to learn how to think, and I'd like to do math and science, but I'm more – and this is, you know, a 17-year-old kid talking, but I'm more interested in learning how to – think, but also getting opportunities to apply. For me, it was more writing and broadcasting and journalism than it was music.
Yeah.
But I remember rejecting MIT, which is where my dad went and my brother went. And
you personally rejected them.
And
they didn't reject you.
Yes, I rejected them. I shouldn't put it that way. But at least at the time, after visiting them, I felt that MIT would be great at polishing up one part of my brain, but not the rest of it. That, yeah. Again, this is a 17-year-old's evaluation or 18-year-old's.
I mean, I had the same kind of thing where I look back, I'm like, maybe I didn't quite – I thought the best I could for the time.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. So did you play sax as a kid or
– Oh, yeah, absolutely. I started playing saxophone when I was in sixth grade, seventh grade, one of those.
Yeah, your tone is remarkable. Did you, like, follow certain sax players growing up that you admired? Or?
Oh, yeah. Early on, when I was in middle school, I had a friend of mine who turned me on to a saxophone player named Kenny Garrett, who's an alto player, and I mostly play tenor. But his tone blew me out of the water, and his ability to turn a jazz tune into something funky and melodic and beautiful just like kind of set the tone for what I wanted to do.
Have you had a chance to hear Richie Cole?
I have.
Yeah,
I've met him a few times.
He's in Pittsburgh now,
yeah.
Which is amazing. And he's also lived in New Jersey, which is one reason I asked you.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I know him, but I have met him, and I've of course heard his records.
Yeah. I mean, he's legendary, and when he moved to Pittsburgh, some folks like, oh my gosh, Richie Cole in Pittsburgh, really? But I mean, this is a guy, he played with Buddy Rich.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes back many, many years.
And, you really don't get much more legend than Buddy Rich.
No, yeah. I mean, he goes back a long ways. So tell me about the Feral Cat Project and how that came to be. You've got an album coming out June 1st, a release party at Mr. Small's. We have another track or two. We'll certainly all have time, but I want to hear from you a little bit. How did this project come about?
So I was at a concert I had met a musician through a friend of a friend who was the front man for an emo rock band called Sorority Noise. And when they were starting off their like last tour, they're actually like on a relatively permanent hiatus. Their first stop was in Pittsburgh, and they had sold out a show. This was about a year ago, actually a little bit more now, at Spirit Hall. And he had invited me to hang out with him at the tour bus, and he invited me on stage. And as a saxophone player, you don't really play with emo rock bands or like alternative rock bands or anything like that. So it was kind of like eye-opening for me that I can be on that stage and add something to an element of the music that wasn't already there. And I thought about it for a while, and I'm like, I would love to just be able to perform music at such a high energy level, because as a saxophone player, I either get pigeonholed into playing pop covers or playing jazz. The only real like rock legends in saxophone are like Clarence Clemens from the E Street Band and Bruce Springsteen. And while I still look up to him and revere him, I kind of wanted to carve my own way through this musical process. So I wrote a song after that night where I had gotten to perform at that stage, and it was like a sold-out show, so it was a big deal. And after that, I just kept writing music for this particular project, and I'm like, you know what? I do want to release it. I do want to let this out. But it was, I mean, it was nerve-wracking for me because I hadn't heard anything like this before, which was why I was trying to create it.
What was the song you wrote?
Castle Song.
So we've got that here. Let's take a listen to it. This is Feral Cat, if you're just joining us, a.k.a. Roger Romero or a.k.a. Feral
Whichever
Cat.
One is
But Feral Cat is who you should look for online. And let's take a listen. This is Castle Song. Castle song from Feral Cat, and we were just talking. That was your ooh, or somebody.
Yeah, yeah. The keyboard player at the end of the recording just goes, boom.
Boom.
Because we were all like, yeah, that was the take.
Yeah, that was, we were talking as we were listening. That was done live.
Yeah, that was
straight,
done live.
Straight to the recording. And what a great ensemble there. Who were the other musicians?
So we're all part of this music group called the Attic Music Group, run out of literally my house in Highland Park. But the other musicians, we have Caleb Lombardi on the piano and synthesizer, two guitarists, Drew Beara and Brandon Lehman, both of whom had a solo. The bass player, Chris, we call him Trip. He also gets called Trip by everyone. Chris Chapagne on bass and Alan Bell on the drums.
That's a great sound. Roger Romero is here. You've been hearing him talk a little bit. Feral Cat is the project. And there's a picture of Roger with the live improv he did to open this hour, as well as a link to the Facebook page for the site that I just put up on our Facebook page. Also, if you go to slbradio.org, it will take you to the Feral Cat section of Roger's larger website, which puts his work into a greater context. And I wanted to be sure you had a chance to go to that site too, mm-hmm. as you're listening. We were talking a little bit. I broke a rule. I almost never talk to a guest off the air, because then I forget what we've talked about.
I was a little
on the air
of that.
And off the air, but that's okay. We were talking a little bit about the notion of actually earning a living making music. And a lot of folks, for whatever reason, are conditioned to think that that is not possible or that's too great a risk. The same is true for art and for some other careers.
Journalism.
Yeah, journalism. And I think some of that's starting to go away a little bit. But
I think with this sort of like gigging economy that's coming up and that's becoming more popularized, it's a little less unusual.
Yeah, plus you get to see behind the curtain a lot more just with how ubiquitous information is. You can actually learn from people. And that's what I'm curious about, is what's it been like for you to learn the music biz more, and how have you done that?
I mean, it's tough because I'm not necessarily sure I know the music business. You know, I've been playing in the Pittsburgh music scene for a few years now, and I had played in a band. It was a jazz fusion group called East End Mile. And we were really like trying to work our way up and work our way out. And we made some strides while we were playing. We played together for about 3.5 years. And at the end of it all, I decided, or we kind of went our separate ways, and I started freelancing more. And I think that was really my intro into music industry per se, because as a saxophone player, it was nicer or easier for me to get jazz gigs. And so that meant what I didn't know before was how to play a bunch of standards or like memorize jazz standards. And that was something that I had to pick up along the way. And I had to like work really hard to start memorizing a bunch of standards and just pick these things up. Then there was the dynamic of going to open mics and going to jam sessions, like really trying to put my name out there and put myself in front of other musicians and artists who could hire me, or we can develop relationships, something along those lines. And really, like, I don't think I understand the music business, really. I've started working and I've started to get more work, and little things you start to pick up. And the only really real reason I start to pick these things up is because I notice younger musicians sort of going through the same struggles that I did. And I'm like, okay, these are just rites of passage.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's well, and some of them are just rites of passage in life, too, just mm-hmm. things you go through. Talking about, you know, finding a fake book, you know, learning Girl from Ipanema and
yeah, all those.
Stolen Moments and whatever, but you're going to learn and then making yourself available when mm-hmm. somebody needs a sax person.
Yeah, and I also, through this, I still also got, I actually ended up getting more gigs doing pop music and R&B.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess you're versatile enough,
yeah.
and sax is used in enough of that. That
really anywhere where I could be an accessory to the band, you know, just add myself.
So how I know my brother's a professional musician. He lives in Chicago, where I think the Musicians Union is a bit stronger than in Pittsburgh. And I know in the earlier part of his career, it was pretty much people knew you need he plays guitar. You need a jazz or classical guitarist. He does some rock too. You know, call the union. They'd send you Dave, and he'd play with you. Or he also had relationships that he eventually developed. Here, I don't know if that many jobs are coming that way. It's got to be more just who you know and networking, right?
Yeah. If there is a musicians union active in Pittsburgh, I know very little or nothing about it. But
it's come and gone. It's probably mostly for the symphony musicians
at
this point.
Yeah.
But there was a time when it was a bit stronger for all sorts of music.
Yeah, and I think the industry here is it's tough because we've had moments where venues close down and there's not as many opportunities for certain players that are established and incredible and world class. Sometimes some of them struggle to find work the way they used to. And I kind of have the fortune of being able to sort of adapt myself to whatever I can do now. Like, I'm active on social media, and being active on social media actually gets me a lot of work.
Sure. And you probably, by the way, Feral Cat is who we're talking with, also known as Roger Romero. Or is it also known as Feral Cat? It's both.
So Feral Cat I see as my, like, stage persona.
Yeah.
The way I liken it is Donald Glover / Childish Gambino. Like, the guy who gets up on stage and performs is Childish Gambino, but the person who works behind the scenes is Donald Glover.
Makes sense. That's who you're listening to right now. There were a couple things I wanted to ask you. First, probably when you're younger, you're probably willing to try a few more things or just be a little more malleable. I can't quite express it, but things are still so new to you, right? That you're willing to do that. The other thing I'm curious about is my perception, having known musicians in Pittsburgh for a long time, is I think the days of, oh, well, we can't pay you, but don't worry, you'll get lots of exposure and we'll feed you, are starting to dwindle more and more. I see a lot of musicians who, you know, there are times when it's appropriate to play pro bono, but I think there's an awareness that please do not exploit me. And I see you nodding your head. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm an active advocate for that. You know, I would make, I guess, digitally public stances on the concept of exposure dollars. You know, it's not a real thing. There's a meme I really love that says, oh, I can pay you in exposure dollars. And the reply is like, oh, that's great, because my rent is only 800 exposures.
Yeah.
Like, the point is, we have a value that we need to, for some reason in society, establish that I have a craft that I've spent years and years and years working on, that I can do certain things that you should be willing to pay me for. And if you're not, then that value proposition, you're, first of all, there's going to be a distance between the sort of quality of work that you can get and the willingness of people and musicians to work with you. Because like you're saying, I think there's fewer and fewer people that are allowing themselves to be taken advantage of. You know, like, that's not to say I would not take free gigs. I take them all the time.
Well, sure.
And there are appropriate moments for me to perform just because I want to, like, especially because I still do it for the love of the craft. But at the end of the day, there are moments where I need to get paid too. So.
Yeah, I think it's at least people my age, growing up in the 60s and 70s, at least in my family, work was kind of something you tolerated as opposed to something that brought you joy.
Yeah.
And I guess all of my engineering jobs were jobs that I more than tolerated. I mean, I enjoyed the people I was working with. What I'm doing here and now brings me a lot of joy. And you don't associate, as a result, something that brings you joy doesn't necessarily need to bring you money, but you need to, you know, it's still work, right?
Yeah,
it's,
I still need to feed myself. And if I had a family, it would be even, like, more challenging if I'm not getting paid right.
Yeah, one of my favorites, I think it's Woody Guthrie who says, you know, people die from exposure, right, as well. And then I worked for somebody once. So people would always talk about imminent dollars coming in. Like, well, if we get this project and we get this project, they're imminent and they're going to be, you know, imminently, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. And Al would say, great, you can go to the grocery store and buy some imminent food to feed your imminent family. And it's like the exposure thing, too. Why don't we listen to Jaguar? Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's a lot heavier than the last one. So this is where I kind of ventured into a more of a metal progressive rock sound, but still leading it with the saxophone. It was a little bit experimental, but I think it worked out.
And it was just done all in one take as well?
No, this is a recorded studio version, you know, tracked and whatever else, but it was all tracked in my house, in my attic, because we have a recording studio that we created there.
Cool. Before we analyze it too much, let's listen to it. Feral Cat.
We'll be right back.
I was waiting for the customary keyboardist to shriek at the end of the song, but
no, not for this one.
Not for this one. That's Feral Cat, and that tune, Jaguar, mm-hmm. It's called. And behind Feral Cat, we're talking with Roger Romero, Highland Park resident, New York born.
Yeah,
born in New York City. And we should mention you can see him and the band at the release party mm-hmm. for the project, which is June 1st at Mr. Small's.
Yeah, Mr. Small's Theater. And we're releasing with Starship Mantis, who's also releasing an album. So it's a double record release.
That's fantastic. Album done yet?
I'm getting masters end of next week, so we're crunching on time.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
And you'll have a physical CD as well as a download.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. What else might you want to mention that I haven't asked you about in terms of the way you approach music, life, anything you'd like to talk about?
I wanted, for this particular thing, just music that I could rock out to. Music that I could start mosh pits to, things that I loved to do in crowds, and I really wanted to give energy and receive energy rather than just perform for people. And it was really important to me that I created something where 15-year-old me, who was playing in jazz band and, you know, went home and learned jazz charts, but also hung out with all the DIY rock kids, I wanted to be the lead for a band, and I was for a bit, but I want to basically give that 15-year-old the opportunity to be like, I can be an instrumentalist and still be the lead for a big rock band. I don't have to join a ska band. Like, I can create this kind of music. I can be who I want to be.
Yeah, you don't, you had mentioned earlier about saxes in a progressive rock environment, or I mean, pop songs, you'll hear it, but
you
not
hear like
so
a solo
much,
or something, you know.
You know, Baker Street's the one everybody thinks about, but you've got really a remarkable sound and individual too, which is not always a given. You know, not everybody necessarily does it. What's your next project?
Well, once this is over, I mostly just want to keep writing music, especially music like this. I think my direction's going to head more towards jazz than it was before, but honestly, I can't really tell. I've written a few more songs that aren't going to be on the album, but really time will tell what the real direction of this is.
Yeah, and that's kind of a stinker kind of question to ask, you know, because who knows, right?
Yeah,
when I used to get asked questions like that, I would talk about, you know, people would say, where do you want to be in 10 years? Think 10 years ago what the world was like. How could anybody predict things that are here today?
Yeah, you know? I couldn't imagine being off of my phone as much as I was. Or like, I wouldn't even think about how much I'm connected to. I feel like an android now.
I know. Yeah. You're not alone in that. So I've mentioned that we've linked to your various sites, but if on Facebook, it's simply at Feral Cat, all one word, easy to get to. What about the website?
Well, my website is my personal name. It's RogerRafaelRomero.com. So the line, or like for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere else, it's Feral Cat, but with a 3 instead of an E.
Ooh, a little leet speak. I love it. 3 instead of E.
Well, because Feral Cat was taken.
Thank you for being with us today. It's been really fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Talk. Good luck with the release.